having y'all stand for a song. I'm not sure I can, but I'll try. Take your Bible to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. That's what happens when you get a rookie song leader and just trying to fill in. Yes, sir. I appreciate him. Appreciate him doing that. Yeah, make you feel better, huh? No, it's good, and I appreciate him taking up, stepping in and doing that, leading the singing, and y'all just carrying on like he knows what he's doing. That's good. I pray for my brother that he'll get better. By the way, pray for Ms. Grimes. She's sick tonight, not able to be here, so do pray for her if you would. And we're going to be there in 1 Kings chapter 10. Let's begin reading right there in verse 1. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are the men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." Now, I want you to hold your place right here. Would you turn to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 11, verse 31. Luke chapter 11, verse 31. I want to tie this in with us to, if I could, to bring it to where you and I get a grasp of it and get the application for us tonight. Luke 11, verse 31, the Bible says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Now, these passages of Scripture have been the text for many a message by many a preacher, all right? None have ever exhausted the text, so I'm going to preach to you today on the topic, if you will, of the testimony of the queen. The testimony of the queen. The queen of Sheba, by the way, is a historical character, just as Solomon is, all right? No doubt about it. But there's some truths that we can grasp and we can get that can benefit us while we look at this passage of Scripture and hopefully challenge us just a little bit, all right? And maybe in several different ways. So notice, I want you to see, first of all, the testimony of the Queen of Sheba. The first thing we see there in verse 1 is when the Queen of Sheba heard. She heard the fame of Solomon, all right? She heard. That's her testimony. She heard of the fame of Solomon all the way in the land where she lived. Now, we'd have never known about the Queen of Sheba if she had not heard about the fame of Solomon. Now, I guess a fellow like me possibly would have, because I am a history nut and I like to read history and study history. The average person is not fascinated by history that way, but we'd have definitely never found her in the pages of the Word of God had she not heard of the fame of Solomon, all right? But because she did, here was a guy famous all over the world. But wait a minute, not just that. Look back at verse 1. She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. It was Solomon's attachment with the name of the Lord that she heard about. It was because of the relationship of God and Solomon that she heard. Can I just make this application to you and me? It would be a great thing if people heard about us because of our relationship with our God. Our relationship with our God. Too many times we hear about the misdeeds that people do. We hear about the sin. We hear about the criminal activities of people. And that's what makes the news. We hear about folks that do bad things. And because of that, we hear it, all right? Wouldn't it be good if people knew about you because of your relationship to God? Wouldn't that be a good thing if people talked about you, couldn't talk about you without talking about God? Not just you, but hey, that person knows the Lord. That person has a relationship with God. I mean, they're right there together. You see them, they're together. They stand out because of that. I told you, I got a book about a gospel quartet. And I was reading that book. And one of the things when that quartet was organized, the leader put in what they called, referred to as a morals clause. And if you messed up in any way, you were out. There was no one strike and you're okay, or two strikes. No, it was if you mess up and you brought reproach on the name of that group by what you did, you're gone. You're out of there. And in reading through that book, they mentioned one of those fellows that didn't like that clause. And he was the first one to leave that quartet. And that was one of the, had to do with that. He didn't like that clause that he had to sign. But the one that fascinated me is the piano player whose name was Henry Slaughter. He said, I'm out of here. When they started doing some things, recording with some individuals, and he said, this is not the reason I'm in this quartet. They started backing country singers, and they started talking about going to Vegas and appearing in Vegas. And Henry Slaughter said, I'm not going. Man, I tell you right there, I thought, amen. His relationship to his God meant more to him than extra funds in his pocket. Hey, wouldn't it be good if your testimony was such that you were known because of your relationship with God? Hey, that person loves the Lord. Don't try to get them to go wrong. They won't do it. Oh, what a testimony that would be. If we just have that kind of thing. Solomon's testimony and his fame, she had heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Oh, man, what a good thing, all right? She had never come to the king had someone not told her about him. And I got news for you, that's our job, tell people about the king. There is a greater than Solomon, okay? There is. And who needs to hear about the king from you? Who needs to hear of your testimony that says, man, I'm with the Lord. I'm standing with him. You're not going to remove me from that. I will stick with him. I'll stick it out. I'll stay there all the way. All the way. Hey, that's it. She heard. But not only did she hear, she came. But she came because she heard. She came because she heard. That's what verse 2 says. She came to Jerusalem. Man, and when she came, she didn't come by herself. She brought a whole bunch of stuff. And the Bible talks about she came with spices. Now, we don't get excited to know about paprika and all those other spices, but you got to understand, in those days, spices were difficult to obtain. You couldn't run down to HEB or Walmart or, you know, any other place. You had to go And they came from long distance. She brought that. She brought a lot of gold with her and precious stones. She came. Hey, why? Because she heard about him. Hearing about him made her want to meet the one she had heard about. She wanted to see for herself how much she had heard was true. Have you ever found yourself in that kind of position? You wanted to see how much of what you had heard was true about somebody. Well, a lot of people exaggerate when they're talking about people. Man, they exaggerate. They exaggerate. When talking about sports stars, they're quick to call somebody the greatest of all time. Man, they're quick to exaggerate. So she wanted one. She wanted to come. She wanted to hear, is this one? I can't help it. I think about that one who's greater than Solomon, and that one that if you've heard about, and you said, man, I wanted to come. I wanted to see for myself. Because the truth of the matter is, it's natural for us to think and be skeptical when we hear about somebody who is advertised as so wonderful. When I was making the notes for this message, I thought about the times I've been to a sideshow, a fair, or a carnival, and you get a fella who stands out in front and he's got all these pictures and they're talking about what's inside the tent. And if you'll just pay the extra money, you can get in there and see, you know, the 14-headed kid. Now, that's an exaggeration. But you know the kind of thing I'm talking about? The bearded lady and used to those things. Now, they're definitely not on the scale today, you know. But those guys were called barkers. And their job was to stir up your interest. And you go in. Now, I want to ask a question. There's some of you older like myself. How many of you ever went into some of those? Ever been in? A few of you have? Now, did. Most of the time I thought, yeah, that's what I figured. That guy out front was making this sound a lot better than it is. A lot greater than it is. I love to study and read about circus. And the circus used to be associated with sideshows. And they had different people. One time there was a three-legged man. And literally he did have three legs. He could kick a football with each one of those three legs. And in that day, you know, the way to make money, the easiest way for him to make money was being the sideshow. And that's what he did. And they gained a certain amount of fame. But those fellows who wrote the advertisements for circuses developed the vocabulary that was over the top. All right? Man, I've got a circus poster in my bedroom. He said, what? Yeah, it surprised me when my wife let me put it up, all right? But I've got this circus poster of Gargantua the Great. And it's just, now, if you're not familiar, Gargantua the Great was a gorilla, all right? It's very interesting. Probably some of the two greatest stars of the circus in the 1800s was an elephant, Jumbo. And maybe the greatest star of the circus in the 1900s was that gorilla. And I've got that poster that's made up. It's a facsimile of the original one. And I don't know how many of my grandkids have gone in my bedroom and asked me, what's that monkey got a hold of that guy for up there? You know, and it shows this gorilla holding an individual in their right hand like they're fixing to dash him. And I've had to tell them and explain to them, well, that's a wee bit of an exaggeration. That never happened, okay? That never occurred. But it was advertised to get people to come in and to see it. And it's natural for us. We see that. And we, maybe if you're like me, you've paid money to go in to see some of those things. And now, I did it as a teenager, knowing I was probably wasting my money, but I went anyway. Because I was wealthy, I had money to blow. So, but we went and did those things, all right? And so we developed that skepticism. Well, I want to tell you this. The Queen of Sheba came, and she came to see Solomon. Hey, I heard about that other king, the one greater than Solomon. And I'll tell you something, I found in him someone who never disappointed me. Never disappointed me, never been disappointed with him. Everything I've heard and I've came to see, never disappointed. Hey, she heard, she came, but that's not all. Now, here's the thing that challenges us. Look in verse 3, 1 Kings chapter 10. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, the house that he built and all of that, all right? Here's the thing. She listened. She listened. She heard about him. She came to see him. And she listened. She didn't just come to gawk at Solomon. Man, look at that. Or to gawk at his wealth. The magnificence of the buildings that he had built, to go into them and to see the gold, to see what was there, what was on his throne. She didn't just come to do that. The Bible says she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She communed with him of all that was, you know, in her heart. She told him. She talked with him, all right? Poured out her heart to Solomon. And then he told her all her questions. He had to answer for every question she had. Every one of them. That's because of the wisdom that resided in him. He had it. And boy, she had the good sense to listen. One of the things that's so sadly lacking in our day is the people that come to the Lord. So many people today come to the Lord, they're really more interested in talking to him and not hearing from him. We go to see him. They're not really interested in listening to what he has to say. But I've got some complaints, Lord. I'd like to register with you. Or I've got some desires. I've got some wants. Really, in some cases, almost, I've got some demands, and you say you're God. Well, you need to do this for me. I listen to some of these clowns that I hear on Christian radio or nowadays Christian television, and they act like they command God to do things. You know, it's just here I am, and I'm telling you, God, you do this. Man, they come with an attitude. And I'm afraid there's too many of God's people that professing Christians that come to the Lord, they've got complaints, they've got questions, but they're really not interested in listening for the answers. They're not really looking for solutions. They're just looking, as we say today, to vent what they want to God. They come that way. But that was not the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba came because she had some desires. And she communed with him, and he had the answer to every question she had. Hey, folks that won't listen invariably leave dissatisfied. Dissatisfied. That is why sometimes in a church service, some people will say, "What a blessing. I've had people that came and sat in the same services and make the statement, 'Preacher, I get so much help from your preaching.' I've had other people sit in the same service said, 'I just don't get anything. I just don't get anything out of your preaching. You know, I just don't get what I need.' Well, I scratch my head because I got two people, same service. One said they got it and one said they get nothing. I don't know what's going on, all right? And I'm not bragging on me, but look, hey, something's wrong somewhere. And I'm convinced a lot of times the problem comes in because people do not really listen to hear from the Lord. You can read your Bible and get nothing out of it. Nothing. Because you're saying, okay, I got my list here. Got to read that chapter, and that chapter. Let's get after it. We're not listening. We're not listening to God and speak to us out of his word. We're just checking the box on the reading schedule. Don't let that happen to you. Now, I don't know if this ever happened to you. I've had it happen to me. I told you I'm a reader. I love to read. Y'all know that. And got hundreds and hundreds of books in my own library. There have been times when I'd be reading and all of a sudden I'd stop and think. I have no idea about anything I just read. Don't know what was there. Don't know what it said. He said, do what? Well, my mind wandered off while I was reading. He said, well, how'd that happen? I can't explain it. I'm just telling you it happens. The sad thing is I've had that happen reading the Bible. You'll just be honest with you, that's happened. But the Lord spoke to me and I stopped, put the brakes on, and I went back. Lord, you forgive me. I'm going to read that again. Hey, our problem, we don't get anything because we don't listen. We don't listen. We miss it. Let's do it. I help kids in school. You sit down with a kid in school and, okay, let me show you here. Here's what we're doing. Maybe it's some math problem. I said, all right, this is the way you do it. Here's the way you set it up. You do this. And I look at them. And that student that came and said, I need some help, is doing this. Hey, Wally, you came to me for help. I said, who's Wally? We don't have a kid, never had a kid named Wally. So that's why I use that name, all right? Hey, Wally, this is what's going on. I'm not going to be able to help you if you don't listen. I feel like saying, duh, all right? But there's our problem. We don't listen. But man, the Queen of Sheba came focused. I want to say it this way, both ears. Both ears, what have you got to say to me? She listened. Hey, the folks don't listen, they leave dissatisfied. They leave unchanged. They remain unhappy. But you come to the king and fail to listen and you receive no help. But if you'll come to the king and you'll have that desire and you'll listen, you can get the help you need, all right? So here she was, all right? She heard, she came, she listened, and she was absolutely overwhelmed. Look at verse 5. And we're reading there in the meat of the table, and she saw this sitting of the servants, that their apparel and his cupbearers, and here's the scent by which he went up to the house of the Lord. If you're not careful, you're reading there and you quit paying attention. But look at that last phrase. There was no more spirit in her. She was overwhelmed by what she heard and by what she saw. She said, man, you know what? That was a true report I got. Back there in the land where I live, mine own land, what I heard about what you did and about your wisdom, it was true. And she said, I believe not the words, because I couldn't believe all of that could be true. But then I came. And then I saw it and I heard it. And behold, verse 7, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. She was absolutely overwhelmed by what she heard. The queen realized that what she had been told didn't come close to coming up and revealing the real greatness of Solomon. Man, it's just part of it, all right? His wisdom, his prosperity went way beyond anything that she had been told, anything she had heard. Hey, I want to tell you, it's not often that you find something's greater than what was told. Usually it's the other way around. What was told is really greater than what you find. But when she came to Solomon, man, it was the other way. What they told doesn't even begin to cover it. Just can't even handle it. I want to tell you something. There's another king who's coming back, and there's so much greater than you and I can fathom. And he's the one we ought to be focused on. Take your Bible, John chapter 21. John chapter 21, would you? Just take a look here. This is the last chapter in the Gospel of John, and I want you to go to the very last verse in the last chapter of the Gospel of John. And the Bible says this, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. There it is. He said, you write them all down. He said, man, the things we've heard, You can back up in that chapter, and you'll find that the things that were written to help us so we'd believe and we could get it and we could be saved, all right? That's it. In chapter 20 of verse 30, it says that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. You get to verse 25 in the next chapter, and he said they weren't written in any book. But verse 31 says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You know what that means? That means God's given us enough for anybody. And if you'll take it and believe it, you can get saved. You can get to heaven. That's the reason it was given. You say, well, I just need to hear more. No, God says, I've given you enough. I've given you enough. He said, if we had written everything down, the world couldn't have held the books that could have been written. Why? Because there's one so much greater than Solomon. There's one that's done so much more and reached out, and his wealth and his ability. We measure the wealth of people. I've read, you know, several times this week about the fellow that's supposed to be the richest man in the world. And he's a guy that, you know, his name, he's so important I can't remember his name. All right, what? Elon Musk. I understand his wealth is measured like $330-something billion dollars. Now, I'll be honest with you, I can't conceive of that much money. I cannot conceive of that much money. Most of you ladies in here couldn't spend that in your lifetime, even if you tried. Now, us men might be able to because we can buy a lot of junk, okay? But hey, it's amazing. I'm going to tell you that's not a drop in the bucket to the wealth of our Lord. Man, we sang the chorus, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and the rills, the sun and the moon that shines. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. But here it is, he is my Father. So they're mine as well. He owns it all. That's the one we talk about. That's the one, hey, you know what? That's the one we've heard about. That's the one that you came. You came at one point because you heard. And you came to him. You put your trust in him. You put your faith in him. You called on him to save you. Now, I hope since that day, you've been dedicated to say, I'd just like to know more about him. I'd just like to know more about him. I've heard about him. I've read about him. I've met him. But man, I want to know him. If I could just get better acquainted with him. And every time I do, I'm overwhelmed. When I begin to think of the God that we serve. Just overwhelmed. You pick any area you want to talk about his wealth. Overwhelmed by it. Overwhelmed by the wealth of our God. Overwhelmed by the wisdom of our God. Just, that's amazing. You read his book. You read his book. I'll read something by some and then the secular world, and I'll think, yeah, well, God already said that a long time ago. He said that a long time ago. Just overwhelmed by his wealth, overwhelmed by his wonder, just how wonderful it is. Just how wonderful it is. The truth of the matter is only eternity was going to reveal what has not been told about him. And by the way, it will take eternity to tell it. It'll take eternity to tell it. I had a cousin by marriage. He married my cousin Cheryl. His name was Wayne. Wayne was a storyteller. And I mean, he liked to tell them. But you had to be patient because he was going to tell it at his timing. He was going to tell it at his detail. So if you tried to rush him, you're wasting your time. All right? Hey, with him, he could tell a story. At his funeral, they gave me just a little part in that funeral, but I was amazed at how many people who spoke at his funeral. I think everyone who did talked about his stories. He could tell them. But wait a minute. Our Lord, the deeds he did, I think my cousin Wayne embellished the story once in a while. I'll tell you this, nobody has to embellish anything about our Lord. Man, what he's done. The truth of the matter is, each one of you sitting here has got stories about what he's done for you. What he's done for you. All right, I mean, just there it is. What has he done for you? If we ought to be able to gather around and just begin to tell those and tell about his goodness to you. How he got you through maybe a tough time. How he delivered you from danger. How he kept you away from something that would have got you messed up. How he redeemed you. What he saved you out of. Some of you, you've got stories of what you were, and he saved you out of that. I've got the story of what he saved me from. I've never been in the ditch. I've never been in the gutter in my life. But I'm not patting myself on the back there. I'm thanking him. He kept me out of that. He kept me out of that. Boy, what a blessing. But all of us, we've got our stories to tell about what he did for us. And we ought to do it. We ought to be willing to do it. The songwriter said this in our songbook, says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Hey, amazed at him. Hey, I met him. I came, I heard, I communed, I listened. And I've been overwhelmed, man. Overwhelmed by what he did. Look with you, if you will. You want to sum it up? Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, okay? Revelation chapter 4. And I'll remind you, and we get there, Revelation chapter 4. I remind you that Revelation chapter 1 talks about, and I turn in verse 12 of chapter 1, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. That's the one, all right. He's the one that said there, down in verse 17, he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Hey, but now you go over there, you're talking about him, now you get to chapter 4, and you see verse 11. In chapter 4, you talk about the 24 elders that were there. And they fell down in verse 10 and worshiped him. And they said this, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. There it is, thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Hey, that's the one I heard about. That's the one I think maybe you heard about. That's the one that caused me to come and check it out. Caused me to begin to pay attention when I was a 9-year-old boy and to listen, to hear about him. The one that caused me, and then I came to him and I trusted him as my Savior. And I've been trying to learn from him all the years since then. And I've found out the half has not been told. I've found out that what we know is just the hem of the garment, all right? And I found out that I'm overwhelmed in his presence. And one of these days we'll stand before him and you're not going to do what you think you're going to do. What you're going to do is hit your face before God. In the presence of that righteousness and godliness, we'll fall prostrate before him. A man right now, I hope people will hear not only me, but it'll be you too. And we'll be famous for our relationship with him. Because it's what he did that changed me completely. It's what he did. You say, what makes the difference between you and everybody else? My relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to mark the difference between you, everybody else around you. Hey, I'm saved. I belong to him. I belong to him. Fool with this. I can't. These fingers don't belong to me anymore. They belong to him. Well, look at this. I can't. These eyes don't belong to me. They belong to him. They belong to him. He paid for them. I can't take my feet and go the places other people go. Why not? Because I belong to him. I belong to him. I got no business there. I want my testimony to be my relationship with him changed it all. I want your testimony to be, I am what I am by the grace of God and by knowing him. Knowing him. He changed everything. He changed everything. My outlook, my inlook, my uplook, my overlook, changed it all. Changed it all because of what he did for me. Solomon's testimony because of the Lord. Oh, he never gave credit to himself, I don't believe, for his wisdom. I believe the Queen of Sheba came. She was overwhelmed. I'll tell you this, I don't think she ever got over it. I believe the rest of her life, nobody ever measured up to Solomon. Nobody. If she ever saw another king, she compared him to Solomon. Doesn't measure up. Doesn't measure up. Now listen, I compare anybody, nobody measures up to the Lord. There's been some people that have been awful good to me, but nobody's ever done to me and for me what God did. Man, God help us to have that testimony. God help us to have that testimony. My testimony is because of what God did for me. Now, you say, well, preacher, messed up, okay? Let me see the hands of anybody that never did. I'd be afraid to raise mine. I'd be messing up again. But boy, that's the greatness of our God. The love of our God far surpasses that of any man. Hey, a greater than Solomon came for me. He came for you. Oh, I hope you've got a testimony for him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. And we just get overwhelmed thinking about your greatness and your goodness. Lord, there's no way I can put it into words. Words fail us. The Bible tells us the world couldn't contain the books that could be written about the things you did while you were on this earth. And Lord, I just think about what you've done in my lifetime for me. And Lord, what I've seen you do for other people just in my lifetime. Lord, help us and have a desire for a testimony that says, I am what I am because of the grace of God. And Lord, help us to so live that we would honor you with our testimony.